Welcome back to the podcast. I am your co-host, Kieran McKeague, and with me today are the boys of the Fifth Down, Jalen Hostin, Nolan Chang. Say what's up to the pod, boys.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's been too long. The draft happened.
It has
Holy
been
cow.
Way too long.
Wow.
Way too
it's
long.
It's crazy. Football season still happening.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's like, I feel like it's going to be a huge void in our lives before, like, the fantasy football stuff starts right. And then the offseason stuff starts. But we're finally here in the mix of NFL football. Boys, we're going to first give a shout out to our partners over at W Energy. I reached over like I had my bottle. I don't have my bottle there. But
yeah,
you
w
can head
Energy,
on over to
right?
W.GG. Use our promo code POINSOY. That's POINSOY for 10% off of your order. Great tasting energy. Great tasting.
Whoopsies.
Oh, I just realized I didn't look at the screen until just now. But anyway, head on over to W.GG, which will soon be featuring a brand new canned drink. So excited for that one. Anyway, boys, we're going to talk NFL football. It is NFL draft time. We're finally at the point in the offseason where we're slowly seeing these teams flesh out. I mean, there are still some somewhat big name free agents out there, but for the most part, teams are pretty much who they're going to be heading into the season. And we're going to have all those cuts and all that kind of stuff first. But first, we need to talk about the NFL draft. So we're here. Apparently, this is a historic NFL draft because this is the first time since the Dan Marino draft that we got six QBs taken in the first round. And not just that, but six QBs taken in the first 12 picks, which is just absolutely insane.
Oh, my
God. I'm going to throw it over to you guys. Is this yay or nay? Is this class going to have more studs or duds from that QB group?
Absolute duds, man.
And just for those wondering, that's Williams, Daniels, Mays, McCarthy, Penix, and Nix. That's
absolute duds.
Can't believe
the biggest
we had
one
all those
being
guys picked.
Caleb Williams. Like, it's dud season, if you will. Like, there's no other time to be a dud than now. Like, there's like the kid that went to freaking the Patriots is the next AJ McCarron. He's the next. Like, he's nothing. He's nothing burger. Like, I swear to God, you replaced one terrible mid-level game manager with another one. That's what you did. You didn't get Jalen Daniels or anyone else that was going to be somewhat proficient. You got the same guy in the same draft, which is crazy.
That is actually very true.
Like, it's crazy.
Literally
it's
moved on
thing.
From Mac Jones to get Mac Jones light. Like, he's just essentially the same dude.
That's exactly what you got.
I will say this. The teams that have drafted the quarterbacks in those first 12, these boys that are now drafted have an opportunity, maybe other than Michael Penix, but we'll get to that later.
Oh, yes,
they have an opportunity to prove themselves. And I don't necessarily want to say it's going to be a dud. I am on a little bit on the same train as Jalen, but I do think that there is a big chance of them showing out because that's all they have.
I mean, out of the six players that I mentioned, so there's Caleb Williams to the Chicago Bears, Jaden Daniels to the Washington Commanders, Drake Mays to the New England Patriots, J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings, Michael Penix Jr. to the Atlanta Falcons, and Bo Nix to the Denver Broncos. Of those guys, looking at their squads, which of them do you see more as likely to be studs, and which of those do you see as more likely to be duds?
In no particular order, I'm going to go with Daniels and McCarthy. I think they're set up pretty nicely to show that they are good quarterbacks rather than Caleb Williams, who is going to be kind of gift-wrapped a great team.
He has the best wide receiver core of this group.
He does.
100%.
He does. I definitely think that, at least from, like, you know, watching film and highlights and kind of hearing the analysts kind of talk about it, Jaden Daniels has much more competent throwing ability, I think, of all the QBs in the draft. And then J.J. McCarthy, I think that they have a good culture there that they can kind of raise him up to be something. He has a great wide receiver one that's going to be set up. Bo Nix, I'm not really sold on just because I feel like, especially with Sean Payton there, it's like it's going to be a short leash regardless if you're a rookie or not. And I just
Denver, you guys are just you're paying Russell Wilson a bunch of money this year to play on the Steelers, and then you got Bo Nix. And now you have your fifth quarterback, I believe, on that squad. Your fifth quarterback.
It's looking rough.
You also have
rough,
Zach
brother.
Wilson.
Hey.
Which I called.
They have Zach Wilson, Bo
That's
Nix.
That's fucking wild.
Like, there's so many players on that squad. I don't even understand why even draft him at number 12 if you have all those players. That's What do you need all those QB? You only one QB can play.
Nuh-uh,
like
two.
One could have just picked up Brock Bowers instead.
I don't understand.
Because then it would actually maybe make sense that Bo Nix gets taken by the Raiders.
Yeah, you know what's funny? The craziest part about that was they could have even traded back with the Raiders, who were so set on picking a QB, got more picks in the late. I don't understand why pick him. What was the thought process behind that? Are they going to trade Zach Wilson? Because we saw how that went last year. Nobody wanted him. And then you guys got him for like a sixth round pick. So I don't.
Was it worth it?
Okay.
Was it worth it?
Well,
I don't think so.
It wasn't. You're right. 100%.
Was
so,
it worth it?
I mean, we're going to move on from that one. But in the first 15 selections, or within the first 15 selections, or shoot, my gosh, within the first 32 selections, about 26 of them were offensive players. Now, this is huge because typically we have mostly defensive players picked in the draft in the first round. And not only that, but within the first 15 picks was all offensive players until the 16th pick when we finally got our first defensive player off the board. So, boys, I'm throwing it to you, yay or nay, that this is signifying a drastic shift in an offense-heavy NFL. That's part one. And this also being the result of an offense-heavy class. Like, is it just because we have a bunch of studs on the offensive side for the draft class, or is it because now we're focusing so heavily on offense that we don't even give a rat's butt about defense anymore?
I think it's more on the class, to be honest. Hmm? Because the state of the game, yes, it is still offensive-minded, mind you. But let's go back through the last three or four Super Bowls, right? 49ers head coach, considered to be an offensive genius, right? Andy Reid, offensive genius, yes. So you would think that, generally speaking, Niners and Chiefs, that was a rematch from the one prior. Obviously, I think the Philadelphia head coach is more of a defensive guy, but still had a great offense with Jalen Hurts. But even then, what won the game was defense. The Chiefs offensively were anemic until the playoffs. They were anemic. They were not good. Objectively, they were not a good offense until they hit the playoffs and they look like their old selves. But even then, they won, 17-10 against Baltimore? That was a defensive game.
Yeah.
They won 20-something to, 7 against Miami. It's a defensive game. In the cold, right? That's what wins you games. The adage still stands, defense wins you championships. And the defense is what carried the Kansas City Chiefs to our last Super Bowl. They held this rock-studded, 49ers Jones, offense, man, with George Kittle and, the supposed Brock Purdy. He's so good, right? He's not just a game manager, right? He's not Jimmy Garoppolo 2.0, right? Like, he's not just, he's the next guy. Like, they held that guy for three quarters, and they didn't score. And then Patrick Mahomes was Patrick Mahomes in the moment you needed him to be Patrick Mahomes. So that's the reality of the situation. And so I think it's two of those things that you mentioned. It's the shift in what is the modern NFL, which is a lot of offense. And also, I do think this particular class is just way more offensive heavy than it is defensive heavy. But that being said, Chiefs still came out and got two defensive picks at the end of the day, along with some very, very nice offensive options, at least from what I track for my
very,
team.
Very nice. Yes, and that is nice. One of the topics for today as well.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Darn
but,
Putin.
They still, Brett Veach is still doing his thing. Get him young, expedite him while we can, right? And then we can ship him off for trade value later. And they can go succeed and get their bag wherever they want. They're basically setting up, you give a little for us, we're going to give a lot for you with your contract value. That's what happens with L'Jarius Sneed. Like, we got him young. He did great for us, right? Got us two Super Bowls. Now he's going to get his bag and retire somewhere else.
Basketball.
Oh, exactly. It's literally that same mentality, but like NFL, you only got a 3 to maybe 4 year window, depending on your rookie contract, to get the most out of them. And then they'll probably give you 2 or 3 more seasons when you sign them off of that, because they're entering their like physical prime into their like late 20s, early 30s. And they can retire somewhere else with their bag and their money and all those things and whatnot. But yeah, it's just one of those things where Brett Veach is just playing the game the same way the Patriots played the game back in the day. They got kids early that would understand what Bill Belichick was asking them to do, did the system, and then they did great. But at least that's how I feel. I don't know, Nolan,
I agree, view
it differently.
I definitely think that it's still, you know, defense is going to be the key. You know, defense hangs banners in the rafters. Offense gets butts in the seats. You know, it's the tale of any professional sport. You see it how it's kind of laid out. And I do agree. It's just the draft class. It's just very offensive heavy. But I think that it's going to be interesting to see moving forward because, I have heard a lot of the whispers that, like, oh, now it's just kind of they draft top heavy on the offense and they'll kind of let the defense slide through. You do that, you know, kudos to you, but I think there's going to be a lot of missed opportunities for some great players as he kind of moves out.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We're definitely shifting towards the offensive side of the ball as far as the NFL is concerned.
Yeah.
But this was historically a very deep wide receiver, tackle, center, QB class. Like, this is one that was star-studded if you went within the first, like, five within each of those categories. And I got to say, man, like, if you got a chance to, you know, draft yourself a game changer on either side. I mean, even though you might have a need on, you know, the defensive end, if you can get one of these studs, I would 100% do that. The draft seemed to work out for a lot of people.
All this offensive power and the Chargers chose an O-line.
I mean, to be fair,
holy shit, the Harbaugh era.
Goodness.
Starting off red hot, like I predicted.
just. You know, it's funny. There were so many rumors right before the draft.
That's crazy.
No, dude, it was heading into like the kind of what we were talking about, where we're like, oh, they might trade. Oh boy, over there. So, but it didn't end up ultimately happening. So, unfortunate for their team. But anyway, moving on from there, the first surprise in the draft came in at number 8 with the Atlanta Falcons selecting their QB of the future.
Good Lord.
After they just recently signed Kirk Cousins to a multi-year, multi-million dollar contract to be their starting QB.
What are you doing?
So not only did they waste very high draft capital in a very deep draft, they went out and picked a guy who will not only compete with their new starting QB, but will be presumably the future and, you know, sort of ticked off the current starting QB. So with that said, should they have instead looked to grab a wide receiver or, you know, offensive tackle in this historically deep class to help Kirk Cousins? Or should
I'm gonna
they
let
just
Nolan
have
go. I'm gonna let Nolan
F
go.
F that.
I'll let you finish it off. Look, I don't think it's any secret that this is widely revered as one of the dumbest moves you probably could have done. But, you know, if we're gonna give a little bit of a little grace to it, we don't know how Kirk is going to come back. This is, you know, full-blown Achilles.
To be fair,
he's not youthful.
To be fair.
You know, we don't know.
We don't know.
But what I do also want to, you know, we don't know how that's going to turn out either this coming season. But I do think that the nice thing about it is of all the professional quarterbacks currently around, Michael Penix has an opportunity to learn football the right way. With someone who's a stand-up person, as well as a great teammate, as well as a great captain. So I think that could pay off in dividends for Michael Penix and Atlanta Falcons.
Let me throw this to you in a different light.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think that they went into the draft with the idea that they were already going to select Michael Penix, or do you think that it was more a result of what happened prior to their pick? Because some people, especially those within like the media sphere, would say that it is a little weird that you would be like, that's the number one guy we're going for no matter what.
Yeah.
After just signing Kirk Cousins and sort of, you know, predicating your future on that guy as opposed to, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it was going to be the idea that you were going to draft this guy, why go in and sign Kirk Cousins in the first place? Why not just like...
I don't think... It's hard to deny that it looks like this is something that was planned.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have Rome Odunze right after, who I think would have been a perfect fit for the Atlanta
Bowers,
Falcons.
Another one.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know if
you would have had a whole Pitts Brock Bowers deal. That would have been interesting,
right? But I mean, yeah, I mean, it's not like those picks would have been less, you know, divisive if they took those compared to taking Michael Penix Jr. Because that is a very outlandish thing to do. I don't necessarily think it had anything to do with the picks prior. I do think that there is just kind of a little bit of a maybe a screw loose over there that they just had their mindset on. I mean, because maybe they saw something.
Like for me personally, like as a Steeler fan, we kind of went about it the way that I feel like you should have gone about it, right? You did get a guy who would presumably be your future, but you didn't go and spend like $100 million on a guy that was going to just be the kind of placeholder. Yeah. You got a guy for very cheap. That's a veteran. That's a great presence, but he's going to get replaced eventually. But he's not getting paid that much, and he's only on a one-year deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this one is sort of like, why even pay Kirk Cousins if you're just going to potentially relegate him to a bench role eventually? Because, you know, you're hoping that Michael Penix will develop and sort of be that guy.
Not a fan.
Jalen, yeah. Please. It was a bad move. I'm going to throw it to Jay. Yeah.
Enlighten us, Jalen.
Go ahead, Jay. Listen,
this is – there's so many levels to this. Let's start with the basics, right? You just signed Kirk Cousins off an Achilles injury, by the way. It's not like he had like a Brock Purdy issue, like an elbow, right? Like where that's
– yeah.
QBs can recover from that. It's not a big deal. Like some of them get it, some of them don't. It's an Achilles. So that means your O-line better be God-tier. Because if he gets hit again, your backup quarterback has to be able to get in the game and perform. Which you just traded away Marcus Mariota the year before. We all watched the documentary on quarterbacks or whatever. And you're in a weird state where your Jason Ritter had a pretty good year, I would say, for a young guy, just coming in, terrible franchise, no real receivers.
Do they still have Heineke?
I don't think they... Yeah, wait. If they still have Heineke, it's even weirder.
Is that QB room just those two?
They might have Heineke. I don't think Heineke moved on.
I know Ritter was moved.
Ritter was moved, which I think was crazy, because I think that kid actually played pretty well given the circumstances. But that being said, so you just did this deal. Kirk Cousins is supposed to be your savior.
Yeah.
He's going to revive Atlanta. Like, that's the plan. To me, this reeks of reactionary clickbait BS, because there is no way that if your move was to get Kirk Cousins, the guy that held it down in Minnesota, hadn't won the real big game yet, right? But maybe he needs a new team, he needs a new environment, and they'll, you know, that's what's going to take him over the hump. There's no effing way.
Mm-hmm.
That you're looking at this draft and you're thinking to yourself, a quarterback is what we need. You need to get him a wide receiver one or a young wide receiver two or an offensive lineman to protect him because he just had a fucking Achilles injury. Like, there's no way that this was planned. That's part two of this. Part three of this is that of all the quarterbacks you could have gotten, you got the oldest one. If the plan goes that they want to happen, he's going to be 27 years old when he touches the field for an NFL football game. He's halfway into his second contract. In what world did this make any sense? You robbed this young man who has worked his whole life to get to this point to just basically relegate him to the bench during his prime physical years as an athlete? That makes no sense. This was nothing more than clickbait and trying to get eyes on Atlanta, and the old adage of bad any press is good press is exactly what happened here. There is nothing. There is no logical route that you could propose to me that says this was the smart move. Nothing. Because Heineke was comparable if Kurt went down. Ritter was comparable if Kurt went down, but you traded him. So you can't look at me and tell me that this was a logical solution for this draft. It should have been a wide receiver. It should have been offensive lineman in the first round. This class was indebted in it. We mentioned it earlier.
Loaded.
This makes absolutely zero sense, and it's going to bite them in the butt so hard this year. Because now what you've done is you have a disgruntled Kirk Cousins who might not be as Christian and family-friendly coming into this, you know, football season because he's got somebody looking over his shoulder.
But
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, no offense to Kirk Cousins. I know I watched the quarterback documentary. He seems like a wholesome guy, but at the end of the day, it's got a lot of like facade to it. I don't think he's Alex Smith. I really don't. I really don't. I don't see anything from what I've seen of Kirk Cousins that tells me, and from the path that he's gone through from Washington to Minnesota, et cetera, that's telling me that he's finally got his big boy bag, a team that wants him to be the big boy bag, that this young guy behind him, he's going to teach him everything he knows. Yeah. I don't know about all that, because even Alex Smith as a competitor, initially when they heard that they were drafting Patrick Mahomes, was pissed. But Alex understood and saw the light once Patrick got to practice. I don't think Kirk Cousins is the same way. I really don't. He just came off an Achilles. He's got a new contract. He just moved his family. This is supposed to be where he retires. I don't see that happening. So the Atlanta Falcons are actually doomed. And to be honest, it's not as bad as the Browns, but I'm not wishing them success, because you owe that young man an apology. You owe Kirk Cousins an apology. So many levels to this. It's just, I've never been so baffled in my years watching a draft, ever.
I mean, especially considering his reaction to the news that they went out and drafted his replacement, essentially, it's pretty telling that he was not in on the idea that they were going to go and draft somebody to replace him already, especially that high. I think he literally said, oh, they used the eighth pick? Like, why would we use the eighth pick? That's like the high pick. We should be getting stuff to help me now.
Round 2, round 3.
There was some live audio where he was like, gosh darn it. This is pure Bull malarkey.
You don't care.
Right. That's exactly what happened.
But in my opinion too, this sort of set the trend for a lot of other bad, you know, spots for players. I mean, Roma Dunze ended up with Chicago, where I feel like a guy like Brock Bowers could have gone. Michael Penix could have honestly been the starting guy for the Las Vegas Raiders. I think that would have been a fantastic fit for him. And they just sort of spiraled down and made everybody panic. And that's why we ended up getting 6 QBs in the first 12 picks. So terrible decision by Atlanta. Not sure what they were thinking, but we're going to move on, because there was another surprise trade of the very first round that I, for one, do not see the logic in, but I'm going to throw it out to you guys. Surprise trade of the first round came at number 28 when the Bills traded back with AFC rival Kansas City. The Chiefs selected the fastest wide receiver of all time in Xavier Worthy. Yay or nay, it was a good idea for the Bills to not only trade with an AFC rival, but one that has beaten them multiple times in recent years and whom they ultimately lost another trade with in 2017 when they traded back in the draft that would have allowed them to select Patrick Mahomes. They traded that pick back to the Chiefs to select Patrick Mahomes, and they are now trading back to lose out on Xavier Worthy. Yay or nay that this was a good idea by the Bills.
Keone, I'm not even going to answer. It's a pretty rhetorical question that you just set up us with. You know, so I'm just going to let this go over to Jalen. I think we all know that this was not it, Chief.
Oh, listen.
Get it? Go ahead, Jay.
Listen, guys, listen. Here's the deal, banana peel. Okay, Josh, I'm sorry. You're doomed. You're never going to be great. Oh, my connection's dead. Hold on. There it goes.
It's weird because it said that. It said that, but we're all good. I saw all of us. We're still here. So keep going.
Wonderful. Anyways, Josh, my guy, here's the deal, banana peel. Your organization hates you. They want you to fail over and over again. You should have never been a Buffalo Bill, to be honest. It should have been Patrick Mahomes. But they hate you. So they put you in there and said, hey, kid, go try to like run us and win us games with your legs and things and be a big tanky quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger. Didn't work out for you.
Imagine that universe where Jay is like praising Josh Allen and hating on Patrick Mahomes because
that alternate reality. Teams. Wouldn't that be wild?
Reality.
My God. So here they are,
guys,
again.
Josh Allen is the greatest QB.
It's 1A, Josh Allen, 1B, Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, they're both
And then
great.
Everyone else.
Oh, my God.
I imagine. That would be
just
crazy.
In case you guys forgot, it's Patrick Mahomes on one leg, and then everyone else, in case you guys were confused.
You're not wrong, man.
It's crazy to me that the Bills, of all teams, the Bills, what are you guys doing, man? Like, do you just want to lose? How does this? I don't understand these owners. Like, there's no way any of them
get
have
an
football
extra pick,
experience.
Jay.
No,
they didn't get an extra pick. It was a straight up swap.
It was straight
up. They swapped it.
Nothing. It cost us nothing.
Two picks for
wonderful.
Two picks.
I mean, it's crazy to me. We honestly didn't even have to make the pick. Like, I think we just wanted to fuck with Buffalo. That's all it was. Like, it was just a rivalry thing, yeah. And somehow it went through. But yeah, it's crazy to me that we got Xavier Henry. Or
why are they like helping you guys? If Xavier Worthy ends up being something special, just
oh,
just,
they'll make
just
him
remember.
Something special.
But Andy Reid will
remember,
make him
Bills.
Special. Yeah, it's your fault because yes,
he will make
we are
him worthy.
Objectively, we are down Rashee Rice probably the first 8 games of the year. That is what's happening. Okay, but if that time, yeah.
Everyone knows that it's
going to
be a longer
like 5-2,
suspension,
4-4, whatever. With you know what we got. Then we get Rashee back, and then we get playoff Travis back. You know what the outcome gonna be. You know what I'm saying? Like, Pat's still gonna be Pat at the end of the day. Who knows what's to say about Sir Drops-a-Lot, is what I'm gonna call him now. Mr. the one that shall not be named.
Sir okay. Drops-a-Lot is
Sir Drops-a-Lot.
Is he even on
himself.
A team this year?
He technically is still on our roster. Yes, contracted. Yes.
That's unfortunate. I'm sorry.
Listen, he had the worst year I could imagine for a wide receiver in NFL history. But still a chief. So I'm gonna say this. New year,
still
new
won.
Team, yeah. New you. You know what I'm saying? Listen. So if he comes out and he's the guy that we got initially, we're going to be fine. We still got Travis Kelce. We still got Patrick Mahomes. And we got Andy Reid. We're good to go. But it's still, again,
and you got Hollywood
I can't
Brown now.
Imagine a world where someone in Buffalo didn't call and be like, the Chiefs, though? Are we sure?
This Anyone is definitely else? Like Impractical Jokers meme where someone's now trade the pick with the Chiefs.
I swear.
Now do it.
That's the only thing that makes sense at this point. Like these GMs and owners, they really don't have a sense on football. Unlike like you can tell which ones like were growing up with the sport, track the sport, love the sport, and the ones that are just like there. You know what I mean? It's so maniacal. So yeah, it's crazy to me. But hey. We got some real speed. We got some contention with Tyreek speed, which is I never thought we would have again, which is crazy. And so you give that to Andy Reid and Pat. You add Hollywood Brown. I think we're going to be okay. I really do.
You're going to be all right.
That's kind of crazy.
All right now.
I can't believe they got Hollywood Brown and it. All right. It's just.
Just catch
the
ball.
Fastest receiver of all time. Come on.
And the fastest wide receiving driver of all time.
Hey, listen.
It's like Henry Ruggs went faster. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my days. Listen.
Anyway, moving on to the final topic we got here for you guys.
I was going
to
keep it going.
No, you were going to go further than I went.
I was going to push the limits.
This was like a Paul Walker went too fast, too furious or something kind of deal.
Hey, so
I'm just saying Henry Ruggs broke that tackle.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
That was too far. That was past the funny point. No, I'm just like, oh my God, what is wrong with you? Nolan, I'll be praying for you. Moving on, we got the biggest winners and losers of the draft. This is a compilation of a few different winners and losers from CBS, ESPN, a few other ones. But I'm going to throw them out there to you fellas. Let me see your reactions to them. So the first one we got here, a unanimous first overall pick was the Pittsburgh Steelers, who fixed their holes on the offensive line, added multiple steals in the later rounds, including what was believed to be the top linebacker in the class, and also addressed every need for the team within this draft. while upgrading that offensive line. Boys, opinions on the Pittsburgh Steelers and their draft class?
Well done, sir.
I would say, yeah, that's probably the top pick. I mean, we made some questionable decisions from the Kansas City end. I think we could have gotten one or two more.
Oh, don't worry, my boy. You guys are in here as well. You guys are definitely on this list of winners.
I would have liked to have seen a couple more defensive options. I will say that. That's just me personally. But overall, I think the Steelers did a phenomenal job this year addressing what they need. Yeah. Obviously, you get Justin Fields in the offseason. That's freaking huge for literally nothing. Literally nothing. And he's in his literally physical prime. We know Russ is going to get benched by week 6, so it doesn't matter. I think
hopefully week 7, so we don't have to pay them a fourth round pick.
Exactly. So
one more week.
You get that rolling. You get a good team around Justin Fields for him to come into and treat him like the organization before him did not. You guys are going to be absolutely star-studded and good to go. So getting that young talent to develop with Justin Fields for the next, you know, 3 or 4 years, however many, you know, you want to give that young man, I think it's phenomenal. So they're definitely, it seemed to me that they are all in on Justin Fields with the picks that they got. So
yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah.
100%. You know, I got to say too, this draft class was very deep in the tackle department, very deep in the center department. We needed both. We got both. We got the second highest ranked center in this entire draft. We got the second ranked highest tackle in all of this draft. So we got Troy Faltanu at 20. We ended up getting Zach Frazier in the second round. That shored up our offensive line along with Broderick Jones from last year, who was an absolute stud. This offensive line is going to create some big holes for the boys behind them who were already probably the most productive running back duo in the league. This year, they'll have a very, very highly upgraded offensive line to run behind. It should look a lot better. And with Justin Fields in there, I mean, the run game is going to be insane in Pittsburgh.
The read option with that line is going to be absolutely unreal.
It's going to be... Hopefully it ends up being exactly what we hope it to be. But the next team I got here for you, ranked as the second highest in the winners category, was the Washington Commanders. They ended up adding the QB of the future, a lot of people believe to be the top QB in this draft, as well as a few complimentary pieces for their 2-star wide receivers, Terry McLaurin and is it Jahan Dotson. They ended up getting Luke McCaffrey, who was Christian McCaffrey's brother, a highly touted wide receiver, and Ben Sinnott, who was probably the second highest ranked tight end in this draft. Looking at this team now, they also picked up Austin Eckler in the beginning of the offseason. They got Zach Ertz on this team. They got a new head coach in the squad. I mean, Washington Commanders, do you believe that they were winners of this year's draft, adding the pieces that they did to the group that they had?
I do. I definitely think they are. It's going to be... It's always a matter of, you know, we see what the pieces are. Now let's put the puzzle together and see if it looks pretty or not. So I think it's going to be kind of dependent on that. I think it's also one of those things where we were looking at the Texans last year. We were kind of excited, very trying to see how good. We thought it was a very good draft class for them, how they kind of did their offseason. And definitely
that's
impressed
a good
us.
Comp. I
definitely
like
impressed
comp.
Us, right? So I think the Commanders have an opportunity to do so. And I'm excited. I am.
I would be more confident if EB was still percolating, unless they get.
That's very true.
You know what I'm saying?
Very, very true.
I think
true.
When you add Eckler, Ertz, a couple of the young pieces they got in the draft, you add a new QB. If EB is still in that room, I'm way more confident in the Commanders than I am right now. Or if EB was the head coach. But I'm going to say yes, because on paper it makes sense. But my gut says, you got to show me. You got to show me that this is real, because I don't buy that this new head coach is going to get everything rolling. I don't buy that the pieces are going to sync up immediately or, you know, fairly on time within 3 or 4 weeks. I still see this as a more of a project issue than a real solution. But if EB was still there...
The QBs in this draft, do you think that Jaden Daniels has sort of the best chance of becoming sort of this year's CJ Stroud?
I do. I think he's got way more upside than Caleb Williams. I think Caleb Williams is going to struggle despite his pieces that are around him, because he doesn't respect the level of competition at the NFL. He's been told over and over how good he is. He, you know, cries to his mom on national television. He doesn't have the competitive drive and will to actually be the face of a franchise. And I'm so pissed that he went to my, you know, my dad's like favorite team.
Yeah, I feel you, dog. Yeah,
like, I'm so pissed that I have to actively root against the Bears because, like, I just hate that man so much. And I think he's way overhyped. So I think he's going to struggle, and I think they're going to be on their backup QB by week 8, and it's not going to be a contest. Yeah, I'm coming out with it. Like, I'm sorry. So, like, I think
that's on fire.
Like, I think he's done by week 8. I think Chicago's going to have enough of him. Like,
it's crazy because looking at the squad, he has to really mess up to mess up what they have currently. I mean, DeAndre Swift, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, like Cole Kmet. Like, this is a squad that is built to perform offensively. And if he cannot do well with that group,
that's what I'm saying.
You are not worthy of being in the NFL.
He will not do it. He does not have the Patrick Mahomes. Like, he's not Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is one of one. And everyone keeps trying to compare him to all that. It's not happening. Like, he's not him. He is not him.
I knew you were going to say it 100%. I knew exactly you were going to hate that quote on there because the first thing they said, as soon as they got him, they drafted him, the closest thing to Patrick Mahomes since Patrick Mahomes. And I was like, I know Jay's not watching this right now because he was
not.
The closest thing to Patrick Mahomes is his own reflection, motherfucker.
It will be his son, Bronze, who's literally named Patrick Mahomes III. That's what it is. Like,
have you ever noticed if you kind of squint at Jalen, he looks like Caleb Williams?
Oh, shut the fuck up. Shut your fucking mouth.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I was like,
I will end you on air.
I was like, no, because I was looking at his picture. I was like,
I will end you on air.
I'm not in on this one. I'm sorry.
But Jalen Daniels, on the other side, he will definitely be successful because he has been in a more structured pro-ready offense since he got to Washington, you know, since he got to He was Washington, right? I'm not crazy. Or am I thinking of...
He's at Washington.
Okay. But yeah, he's been in a structured offense since he got to Washington. So, like, he understands how to make those reads at the first and second level way better than Jalen.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about college.
Yeah, college. Am I crazy?
Did he play somewhere? No, college was Michael Penix. Michael Penix was Washington.
Michael Penix was Washington.
He was Daniels LSU. I believe he was LSU.
Same style. LSU. Same. He's like Joe Burrow-esque. Same Burrow system. It's the same thing. That's why Joe Burrow was so good on day one, because they have that pro-ready offense. But that being said...
Great arm, too. Yeah.
Great arm. Great talent around him. The offensive line is questionable, so that's going to be an issue. But I think that his ability to get the ball out is going to be the difference maker in him being successful versus Caleb Williams, who did not have an organization that invested in the offensive line. Really. They got him more weapons. But, like, we all know how the story goes. If your O-line is trash, your weapons do not matter. They don't. That's very simple. That's why the Chiefs drafted in the O-line before, like, in Patrick's second year. That's why in year 3, they finally went to go get weapons. And then here we are today. Creed Humphrey is probably one of the best centers next to he has to be the best one now because Jason Kelce retired. I'm sorry.
He's the best in the league right now.
He's the best center in the NFL, and they drafted 100%. Him after Patrick's, air quote, rookie year.
Yep.
And that's how you build. You build the
by
line
far
first.
One of the biggest misses by the Steelers, by the way. Just throwing that 100%. Out there.
Well,
one
he's
of the guys they rumored
so they like
heavily
it.
To try to target, and then they ended up not picking him. And I don't know
lefty
why.
Lefty centers get
him,
left behind all the time. That's all I'm saying. Lefty centers get
you're not wrong.
Absolutely tossed for no reason. But that's how you do it though.
Yeah.
And I think if that's the situation and let's say O-lines are mid, you know, and they're even on both sides, I think Jalen's going to have a better successful career because he's just better at football. He's literally just better at football, than Caleb Williams. Cause you watch his tape and he's like on these college plays, you see the first second level reads where he's going to just get the efficient play and get the first down. And he wants the home run money highlight ball. And that doesn't work in the NFL all the time. Unless it's improv'd and
most
unless
of the
it's
time,
like,
I would say,
like, you know, even Patrick Mahomes, the great one himself, he became more of a Tom Brady quarterback this last year for this run. Like, he still had his moments where you're like, oh, what the fuck are you doing? But like at the end of the day, it was hit my drop 1, 2, bang, hit my drop 1, 2, 3, bang.
It's kind of scary to think that he's adding
just a new element, and he's looking scarier right now.
Yeah. Not okay. Because he still has that in the bag if he needs it. So, yeah, I think Jalen Daniels is going to be way better than Caleb Williams. I think Caleb Williams is done by week 8. So, there you go.
That's a hot take, but I love every bit of it. I love every bit of it. So we're going to move on to the next winner we got here, the Philadelphia Eagles, who went back-to-back cornerbacks. Now, not only did they get back-to-back cornerbacks, but they did end up getting two of the top three cornerbacks in this draft because for some reason, everybody just started letting all these defensive players fall. They ended up getting the top two of the top three in Cooper DeJean, who we talked about earlier, being the first white boy to be at cornerback. Fantastic athlete, fantastic player. Now with the Philadelphia Eagles. and they also got Quinyon Mitchell. Quinyon Mitchell, who was slated to be a top 10 overall pick and ended up falling to them way deep in the first round. The Philadelphia Eagles also made out with the backup running back steal of the entire draft in Clemson's Will Shipley. He fell to them in the fourth round, and they got a plethora of depth pieces for the squad, as well as moving back and getting a ton of picks for next year. The Philadelphia Eagles, throwing it over to you, boys. They now have a cornerback room that features Cooper DeJean, mm-hmm. Quinyon Mitchell, Darius Slay, and James Bradbury. What do you think about this squad? Do you think that they made a hell of a draft, considering that they now have those pieces, plus the Saquon Barkley deal?
I think this was just like this was kind of written in the stars, I guess you could say. I mean, mm-hmm. when you have a group of AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, Goddard, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, do you really need to look anywhere else than bolstering your defense, especially when, you know, there were some issues with them actually being able to push the ball up the field in the second half of the last season, mm-hmm. but it also was them being able to stop the other team from putting numbers up on the board as well.
Yeah. So the crazy thing is they also moved on from guys like Hassan Reddick, who's now with the Jets, right? Mm-hmm. But you get a guy like Quinyon Mitchell, who's probably one of the more physical backs. Like, he could technically play as a linebacker or sort of that middle coverage deal. Like, he's – I mean –
I think they played this the right way, and they still have things to use the next coming drafts. So I think that it's very impressive what they did. I'm excited to see what they do. Jalen just mentioned earlier in this pod, Serena's more of a defensive-minded coach. This seems like the moves that we wanted this coach to make, especially because they're kind of shifting everything around now. He's not necessarily making the play calling. All right, well, then give us the roster that's going to win you guys games, and I think they're doing that.
Exactly. Yeah.
I agree with that 100%. They're going back to the Super Bowl, and it's not even going to be a contest. They copied the blueprint from Kansas City. Like, we got, you know, L'Jarius Sneed early.
That's a good point.
Right. And then we just got McDuffie the year before. Like, they're going back to the Super Bowl. It's going to happen. Jalen Hurts is good enough to make big plays when you need him to. He's got great legs. He can throw a deep ball if you need it, if the shoulder wants to work. Not 100% sold on that, but most of the throws Jalen Hurts can make. Great leader also, great motivator. Then you add Saquon effing Barkley from a rival in New York with their read option stuff. They're going back to the Super Bowl. It will be Kansas City and Philadelphia repeat matchup again for the three-peat. That's what's going to happen. And so... yeah, that being said, I think it was an immaculate draft for Philadelphia. That's exactly what they needed, because Hurts, again, the reason why he lost the Super Bowl is because he's not able to outduel any quarterback, but he can be good in small moments if his defense holds long enough, and that's what got them to the Super Bowl in that run. So bolstering it, giving him that opportunity again, I absolutely do not see a world where the Philadelphia Eagles don't just run through pretty much everybody in that next season, especially because I think the 49ers are still frauds. The Dallas Cowboys don't exist. They're not real. They're just a cosplaying.
I'm pulling for the NFL Lions, players. But, you know,
I think if it, anything, it's an NFC championship with the Lions and the Eagles, but I think the Eagles edge it out still. Cause Dan Campbell, again, no, I mean, maybe he learns from last season. Maybe he doesn't.
Did it again this last year. Yeah, yeah.
You know, like maybe he learns, maybe he doesn't. But yeah, I think that
those two pieces, if they develop well, again, this is all barring if they develop well like they should, I think those absolutely get them back to the Super Bowl without question, because you lose Jason Kelce, that's a big hole for your offense, but you can fill that and make do. So at defense, again, wins you the championships. L'Jarius Sneed knocking the ball out from Zay Flowers.
Yep.
Bit of a difference maker versus Zay Flowers just being literal a phenomenal talent. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's what's going on there.
It's going to be sad to see that dude on the Titans this year, but, you know, it had to be done, and I'm sure the Chiefs will figure out a way because they always seem to find somebody brand new who fits the mold. So,
more cap room for Travis Kelce.
We're going to, in the interest of time, going to probably move on to the losers on this side of the NFL draft. So, the first loser, Cowboys. Big loser.
Oh, no.
Cowboys.
It's not the Cowboys. Even though they're close, the biggest one was actually Kirk Cousins. See drafting Michael Penix Jr. That is the one of the consensus, clear-cut biggest losers for the NFL draft. Boys, do you see Kirk Cousins as being the loser in this draft, or do you see it more as being Michael Penix Jr.? Like, do you think that they will ultimately move on from Kirk Cousins this year as far as benching him, or do you think that they'll try to ride out Kirk Cousins and go with what they're saying, which is that they'll have him sort of sitting on the bench mentoring alongside Kirk Cousins in order to sort of, you know, eventually be their guy, not this year?
Look, when you're being able to pocket over $100 million, I don't care what you're doing. You're not going to be considered a loser. I do think I'm in agreement with Jalen, how he discussed it earlier. Michael Penix is going to be entering his physical prime sooner than the other QBs in this draft. And I would say that he's probably more on the biggest loser section of this part of the segment than Kirk Cousins. Is it going to be sad? Because, you know, we kind of discussed, not necessarily in depth, over the last couple seasons, Kirk Cousins is technically a upper mid quarterback, and he's kind of getting to that point of his career. There could be a place for him being in the loser bracket of this, but I think overall, He's making some fat money. He's making some fat money. And if it's going to be really, I don't think anyone other than the Atlanta Falcons organization and Penix can be considered losers, or can be considered a loser like Kirk, if that makes sense, right?
You know what I mean? I would say the only reason I would press against that a little bit is because this is the NFL where nothing is guaranteed. Even though he does have a good sum of money being guaranteed to his contract,
portion of it,
I'm sure it's still a lot. Let's put that out there. It's still a lot. But when you're like a Kirk Cousins, where you hope to be playing for at least another 3 or 4 years, the significance of them sort of just deciding they're going to cut your contract, cut their losses on what they got to pay you, but then you don't really get to see the field ever again in your career. I think that this was sort of a disrespectful thing for them to do for
Kirk.
I think that's where I see him being sort of a loser in this situation because...
Okay, no, that's fair.
But I will also agree with the fact that I do think that this was a terrible situation for Michael Penix as well. Like, I think he deserved to get a starting spot on even a struggling squad with a bad offensive line. He deserved to at least get a chance to start in the NFL right off the rip. He had a fantastic college career. I think he was the only four-year player out of this entire group. He should have had a chance to start for the Las Vegas Raiders and sort of be that guy for them. I do agree with that part of that it just sucks that this is a bad situation for both of them. Neither of them really want to be in it. And clearly they did not communicate with Kirk Cousins before they did so. So I think that's the biggest part of this that is terrible for him. So we'll see what they do ultimately. But yeah, that I'd agree with this one. Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix Jr. both. Pseudo losers in this equation. So moving on to the next one we got here, the Cleveland Browns. So they finally completed the debacle of a Deshaun Watson trade this year. It seems crazy to think that it's been that long that Deshaun Watson has been on their roster simply collecting dollars and doing absolutely nothing for that squad. But they did finally complete the Deshaun Watson trade. However, that cost them basically any chance of drafting anyone significant in this draft. Boys, Cleveland Browns, leaving it up to you.
Are they the losers? Are they losers of this draft?
You reap what you sow. Losers. Right.
Yeah. Mm. You hire Preach a it. Serial rapist. That's what you're... You know what I mean? Like, that's what you get. I have no sympathy. I have no quarrel. Like, this is... You get exactly what you paid for. Congratulations. You got Deshaun Watson. Suffer. You've been terrible since you got him, even when he was healthy. I hope to God you're never successful, because your morals clearly...
Could have had CJ.
You could have had CJ. It makes the Wouldn't same. That have been wonderful? Saves the franchise. You know what I mean? But yeah, no, you deserve every bit of the suffering that you're going through right now in Cleveland. As an owner, I hope there's a change in leadership somewhere along the line. Maybe they can find some dirt on whoever the current owner of them is and get somebody out of there, because that's yeah. that's really all it's going to take at this point. Like, it's crazy yeah. to me. I think Just Cleveland scandal, deserves he's more. Done. I think Cleveland yeah, deserves more, I agree with personally. That. I think that's a hardworking city, and it's a shame that this is what their football organization continues to do.
In the infamous words of Joakim Noah, Cleveland, like, I've never heard anyone say that I want to go to Cleveland. So,
but he retracted that statement recently.
I don't care. Joakim all the way. Let's go. The next one Bulls, we got man. Here is the Denver. yeah, my boy. The Denver boy. Broncos, who did select Bo Nix at number 12 when he was slated to be a second or third round pick in this draft. God. They did not have many picks in a very deep draft and wasted their 12th one on Bo Nix while not making any significant trades for other pieces, and also eating up a giant contract for Russell Wilson, who is now a Pittsburgh Steeler. Boys, thoughts and opinions on the Denver Broncos. Do you think, I'm going to throw in another sort of pseudo question to this question, on top of them sort of not having the greatest draft, do you think that there is a large possibility that they move on from another star in Cortland Sutton, especially after they've already moved on from, oh boy, from, I forgot what was his name? It's been a minute since, what was the player they traded? It was before Cortland, there was...
Judy.
I forgot where he got traded to. It's been so long since that happened.
Yeah, I mean...
He's on the Browns? I think he's on the Browns, right?
Browns, Jets, something.
yeah, he's on I the don't Browns.
Know. I don't think that's outside so the realm of possibility. They traded him. I really don't. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility. They're absolute losers in this situation, because yeah. what are you doing? What are you actually doing?
They got Sean Payton, you know? Sean Payton.
Oh, my God. He's the most overrated
Denver. So Denver in general? Like, any pain and losers that they can have, I want them to have it. You understand?
Shut up, LeBum. That's your problem. You hired the bum. This is what you get.
Hey.
Fake goat, by the way.
Hey. I didn't pick LeBron.
Hey, fake goat, by the way.
I am a Laker fan, not a LeBron fan. He
surpassed the record for most minutes in the playoffs. You guys don't even know how great he is. He just lost 4-1.
That was not him mocking me. I don't say that, all right?
Dude, that's like Nolan every L's. Day off
no,
the
pot. No, it isn't. Hey, when was the last time the Bulls were deep in the playoffs, huh?
Hey, don't worry about it.
At least we don't got the bum.
Right.
Watch.
Also, Bulls, you traded really for a LeBron fan, James. Dog. I mean, he kind of a goat, no?
I mean, would you That's really all think it would that? Take.
Like, honestly, like the longevity of his career, like Michael it's Jordan like, wasn't look even at in it, the like, league. That
there's, like, he has the never most made it missed long, field goals like, in ever. History, but it's because he tries to put the team on his back. People don't respect that.
Like, somehow we trade DeMar DeRozan and Nikola Vucevic, and I'm like, guys, like when you really look at his career, like the numbers like, speak for themselves.
They really do. Like, we got it, Ronnie
James too.
Like, that will never happen. So with that said, boys, I mean, I think we're on the train. Denver, losers, moving on. Carolina now, for making a ton of trade backs that didn't need to happen while also trading up for a player that they didn't need.
Christ.
They traded up for a running back who was presumably one of the top, I believe he was actually the top running back this year, which is, you know, great considering that you have no offensive line, and you also have Bryce Young. So, throwing it over to you, boys. What do you think about the fantastic moves that they made? They also traded for Deontay Johnson. So,
Fantastic. You know? Lions move. Can
kick rocks, man. They did my boy Baker dirty, bro. I'm still salty about that one. I'm glad he had a good year in Tampa. Honest to God. I just
they tried to end his career. That's a great point.
They really did, bro. They said, here's no offensive line. Here's no wide receiver core, no running back, no nothing. Yeah. Good luck. Go get. And he still was a missed field goal away from beating the team that traded him with nothing. Like, come on, bro. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's a great kick. That's a great point.
Kick rocks.
Fantastic run. Yeah. Kick rocks, Carolina.
Carolina.
The final big loser we have this year, a fantastically talented wide receiver that will unfortunately have Daniel Jones as his main QB. We're talking about Malik Nabers, who unfortunately did get selected by the New York Giants. But now he's with Daniel Jones and also
Hyatt.
And then
it's bad.
So
it's bad.
Yes.
It's objectively bad.
Slayton? No.
Shepard? Sterling? Nah, I don't know.
We're just naming S's.
It's really bad.
Yeah. The Giants, they thought they were a Malik Nabers away from winning this whole, I don't understand, why even, and then they kept Daniel Jones even they could have drafted Michael Penix Jr. Like, honestly, like, when you think
they
about it.
They could have had a great quarterback. They didn't have anybody. They could have, like, an actual one. Not Daniel Jones, like an actual quarterback. But they were like, we like Danny Dimes. I don't know what he does, but he ain't winning, but he's doing something.
What was
the other one?
DeVito? What was his name?
DeVito. Yeah, Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito. Yeah, that's right.
The Italian Stallion.
I guess they believe in him that much.
Tommy Cutlets.
Anyway, with that said, boys, I think that'll do it as far as biggest winners and losers of the NFL draft. Boys, do you have any other nuggets to throw out there as far as the NFL draft is concerned? I know we're going to be hitting some fantasy football when we got a chance later on down the road, hopefully in the next couple of drafts, because the draft is a-coming. So, throwing it to you, anything else before we bounce on out of here?
I'm excited to see what the Cardinals do this year. Same division as my Rams, but
Marvin Harrison?
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited.
Actually, you know what? Before we do bounce out, I'm going to give a shout out to your Rams, because they did actually have a hell of a draft as far as finding guys who could possibly.
I'm a little confused with Corum, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
I mean, he's a number two behind, Kyren. So there's that. Yeah. I think that's why they did that. They got the boom and the bang. But I will also say they went out and got Jared Verse, who was a fantastic pick. Yep. They ended up picking up that other dude who's on the other side. Anyway. A lot of great defensive guys that could potentially fill the void that is Aaron Donald.
Maybe
obviously,
as a whole, they could fill the void.
That's exactly what I meant. So I was like, all the things he does encompass in a few players. But, yeah, I mean, I think they actually came out looking pretty damn good considering that they already still have Puka, Stafford, and Cooper Kupp over there.
The question is, do they have cap room to pay, the Puka Kupp? You know what I'm saying? That's coming down the pipe soon. And Puka be pooking, you know what I'm saying? Like he's
a baller.
He carries, bro.
You see that? I think that was a little like, okay.
Sorry, wrong pod, everybody. But
fun question. Do you know what island Puka's from? Do you know? Have you been inside
he's from
your
Utah,
information?
He's from Utah. He's from the island of Utah.
So he's from Utah? Is that what he's from? Yeah. Like originally, do you know his family?
It's not
through,
salty
like,
water other than the Salt Lake.
Damn it. We had some insider information from somebody out in the islands over there.
Yeah,
damn
you know,
it.
It's funny. You would think 100% he had like some, there's nobody tied to that one that I know. So, he's purely Utah Pauly. So
someone goes, anyway, how is it? He's like, oh yeah, I do love Cheez-Its. Yeah.
Just like, okay. He's dead to us. No,
I'm just saying, black people and Hawaiians have the same problem. Everyone thinks we know everyone. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know Oprah.
I'm saying.
Like, it's just not how that works.
You don't know Oprah?
I don't. I'm
That's
sorry.
The only reason we have you on post credits.
Damn it. Nope.
Anyway,
that's unfortunate.
All that the said, ones, all the celebrities you're gonna pick for post credits, you're like, Oprah's the one.
I don't know. I
like Angela like, Bassett, Sterling K. Brown.
Oh Oprah. My god.
Wow, you're assuming that he knows Angela Bassett and Sterling K. Brown. Come on.
Oh, man. Angela? Oh, that's Auntie. Yeah, I know Angela. Yeah, she came over from dinner last week. My bad. What's up, Auntie?
You better
What's
up, girl? You better tell your auntie to go to Jamie Lee Curtis's house and take that damn award back.
On God, though. On God, though. For real.
We're on the wrong pod. Anyway, with that said, boys, we're going to pop
check us out on post credits.
Thank you very much. It has been a pleasure. It's been a joy from all of us here at Poi and Soy.
Good vibes and love, everybody.
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang.